Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are live. Oh, no, 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 no. We are live. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. We are live in the studio. That's right. It is Wednesday. Wednesday. Whew, my goodness. Wednesday, September the 20th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a show for you today. It's going to be good. I'm excited about it. Not sure what's going on with this live video on Facebook. It's doing its own thing. But we are live in the studio. I'm excited about it, and hopefully you are too. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King, and I'm all by myself once again. Hey, look. People got stuff to do, you know. What can you do? What can you do? Anyway, we are live in the studio, and today's topic of conversation is going to be good. Y'all ready for this? Ready for this? Three core elements of a growing church. Three core elements of a growing church. It is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. I know I am. Yeah. So look, y'all, let me do this. Let me take a real quick break. Let me take a real quick break. Try to figure out what's going on here. Having some technical difficulties on the other side. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue on with the show. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Let's go. Thank you. goodness. Anyway, y'all, we are live in the studio. Sorry about the confusion. Had to do some changing around. I called myself pre-programming the live event, but I guess Facebook didn't want to, you know. Sometimes folks won't let you be great. But, you know, hey, that's how it is sometimes. But we got this good show, man. Watch this again. Again, it's Wisdom Wednesday. Three core elements of a growing church. That's going to be the topic of conversation today. And it's going to be good. I hope you're all ready for it. So let's get down to the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. Social media, yes, we're all over that. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way as well. All right. So also you can do that. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Definitely would love to have you follow us there. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. We would definitely love to see you and have you be a part of the show that way. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to you can go to iTunes, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, you can go to any of those mediums, or hey, you can do a simple Google search and subscribe to the podcast. That's Taking Limits Off Radio with Dana and Devon, and you can find us there. Amen, amen, and amen. So look, y'all, let's get down into some of the craziness that's going on. Real quick, man, prayers up for these people, the people of Puerto Rico right now, man. Right now they're in the midst of a Category 4 hurricane. I'm just at a loss right now. Hurricane Maria is literally, right now I'm just reading, 95% of the island is without power. 95% of the island is without power right now in Puerto Rico. That's insane. And then we have in Mexico, they were hit with an 8.1 earthquake, an 8.1 earthquake this morning. So far, the numbers dead are over 200 people have died, with hundreds of more being unaccounted for. They're literally, people are digging with their bare hands trying to get through rubble. As I was driving in, I had CNN on my phone, and yeah, I was trying to watch it and drive at the same time. Y'all just pray for me. But I had CNN on the phone, and I'm watching as a school collapsed. While children were there. So it's just, my God, it's just so much going on, and it's unfortunate. We just had this conversation on Monday, did we not? We just had this conversation on Monday, and we see no, you know, these calamities and catastrophes, and they just keep coming back to back to back to back. Yeah, Angela, I was, but my device was in a cradle. Yeah, see, I have a cradle in my car to hold mine up on the window, so I don't have to be pushing buttons, Angela. I ain't holding it like you. So yeah, don't try to come for me. Don't. Don't come for me. Anyway, man, I'm just at a loss right now, man. I don't even know what to. I'm at a loss right now. It's like when you know you feel like you want to do something, and you just don't know what to do. And of course, prayer is always a wonderful thing. And I'm not, and absolutely did that. Went up in prayer for those people this morning. But it's just, there's this, and I know my super deep Christian is going to say you shouldn't feel that way, but It's just the feel. It's just a feeling of helplessness. I didn't say hope, but I said there's just a feeling of helplessness because you wanna do something, but you don't know what to do. You don't know how to do. You don't know what course to take, and it just seems like there's things just happening on all ends of the globe. There are these constant catastrophes going on, I'll ask the question, God, what are you trying to get us to see? That's the question that I'd ask. Lord, what are you trying to get us to see? And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God questions. God, what is it that you're trying to show us? What is it that you're trying to get us to focus our attention on? What are we missing? I have an idea. I got a pretty good idea of what it is, but Lord, direct our path and show us what it is we are missing. Because I'm just at a loss because it's just amazing. I mean, they're just over and over and over again. They're just nonstop. So it's just, man, just so definitely, we just want to keep these people in our prayers. Man, the people of Puerto Rico, the people in Mexico right now, it's really a sad state of affairs right now. Okay. It's just a sad state of affairs. Okay. And then also our president yesterday spoke at the United Nations. Our president, I don't know if y'all saw this, and I know some of y'all probably, and I'm going to say this, some of y'all are probably ignoring Trump because you're ignoring it and you're just hoping he'll just go away. So I know some of y'all probably see Trump on the news and y'all see him on whatever channel you're watching, and you'll see him and you'll just go, oh God, let me just turn the channel real quick. He spoke at the UN. That's the United Nations. That's where all of the nations of this planet, the majority of them, those that are civilized nations of this planet, those that are not even those that are not dictatorships, they all come together for the countries of the UN, of the United Nations, come together a couple times a year. And this was his chance to address the United Nations. And as usual, he embarrassed us as a nation. As usual, the president of the United States embarrassed us as a nation. And I don't know if you saw some of the speech that he gave yesterday. It was just arrogant, braggadocious, threatening, childish, I'm just lost, man. I'm just lost. It's just so much. I'm watching this thing and I'm like, why? Who wrote his speech? And then the fact, I mean, he actually called this dictator in North Korea who is threatening the world with nuclear weapons right now. He called him Rocket Man. Like, what language is this? What level of education is the person that wrote his speech? Like, what level of education is who thought? And I know Donald Trump is going to do whatever Donald Trump wants to do, and we know what happens when he decides to go off the grid or off script, off teleprompter. But who thought that was a good idea? And then he threatened to destroy all of North Korea. In his speech, he threatened to destroy all of North Korea. This is the leader of the free world who threatened to destroy all of another country. I don't think he gets what happens when you speak certain things in the position of power that he holds. I don't get that he, I don't think he understands that though, that his words do have an effect on a lot of things. He doesn't get it. He just does not get it. He is clueless. He is clueless. I'm just in amazement, man. I am. I'm just in amazement and I shouldn't say I'm surprised. I'm not, but it's just the levels of stupidity that we are dealing with on a daily basis from this White House. They have reached astronomical heights, or I should say lows. He has a mind of his own. Yeah, he do. Yeah. Abusing and abusive. How do you deal with people who can't even, you know, Donald Trump is one of these people who can't even be questioned. If you question him, then you're against him. Even the people who are with him, he don't even want them to question him. You know what I'm saying? How do you work with people like that? I mean, it's a fair game to ask questions and to come with a different opinion. And just because someone doesn't share your opinion doesn't mean they're against you. It just means they're looking for, is there another solution? Why do we act that? And I can bring this back to church. Why do church leaders get upset when we ask? Why do we get so upset when we ask people when church people ask leaders questions? What's so wrong with asking questions? Just because someone asks you a question doesn't mean they're attacking you. It doesn't mean they're coming at you. People ask questions for clarity's sake. A lot of questions are asked for clarity, right? He's beyond reproach. Yeah. He believes he is. He believes you because he now sits in the White House. He doesn't believe he should be questioned at all. Because now, his response is the most childish one ever. I'm president and you're not. That's what he'll say to people. I'm president and you're not. So you don't get to ask me questions. Oh, God. How childish and immature is that? I'm president and you're not. You don't get to question me. But you want to see things succeed. You want to see things grow, and you all sit in these positions. You all sit in these positions of power, but then you don't want anybody to have any type. You don't want any feedback at all. Let me speak to some of y'all in the room real quick before I start missing the names. Kathleen Savon, God bless you. Pat Lewis, Susie Newton. Corny Pastor Parks, what's going on, man? Tamika Akins, Miriam Horner, Tanya Hardy, Angela Johnson, Tamala Kling, Latanya Melton, Angela, Andre Parker, Yvette Quinona, Sheldon Wilson, God bless you. Tiki Loving God, God bless you. Keep going. Renee Smith, I see you. Tierra Brown. Oh, my God. Michelle Dixon, what's going on? Pat Hicks, I see you. She back. Say her phone was acting up, but she's been listening on Blog Talk. Okay. Marcus Jefferson, I see you. Glenn Gordon, God bless you. Yolanda King, I see you. Cindy Clark, what's going on? I'm just completely shocked. By this. Thank y'all so much for watching and listening. I do appreciate y'all. And those of you on the Ustream side, appreciate y'all too. Let me make sure I open up the chat room over here on Ustream because I have a tendency of leaving y'all over here. Let me make sure I open up that chat room. There we go. Everybody is in. Everybody is in. So yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to share that because it's just a really sad state. But I want to go back to a comment because Sheldon Wilson, you hit a very good comment. You said some pastors operate that way. And I'll take it a step further, Sheldon. I think some leaders operate that way. They don't believe they should be questioned. I'm in charge and you're not. I'm the chairman. I'm the president. I'm the pastor. I'm the this. I'm the captain. I'm the group captain. I'm the this. You don't get to question me. Who says? Who says you don't get to get questioned? Who says that people can't ask you what was your thought process behind this? And then the very people who are supposed to be your partners in a particular endeavor, those ought to be the people who should be able to ask you questions. If those people can't ask you questions, then why even have those people around you? And don't get me wrong, I am one who is. I would love to be able to just do things by myself and not have to deal with people. I really would. Because a lot of times it's like you just want to get stuff done. Exactly. Even Christ answered questions. Now, if Jesus can answer questions, who are you that you can't be questioned? Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. And Sheldon Wilson, God bless you. Even if you don't have the answer, at least give me something to say, you know what? I don't have the answer for you right now, but I'll get back to you. That's a start. But when you stalemate people with negativity and a negative attitude and I'm just not going to answer. What are you, three? When you stalemate people without giving an answer, then how do you expect how do you expect progress? And don't give me the childish thing, well, I don't care if there's progress. See, that's the 10-year-old mentality. That's the 10-year-old mentality. I promise y'all, it took a lot to get me in here today. I really my mind is elsewhere today. So y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me, please. I really wanted to do a rebroadcast today. I really did. That was just me. It's hard when let me put it this way. When God is working on you. And it's hard to sleep. It's hard to focus. It's hard to focus on other things when God is trying to work on you for his main mission. Now, God can give you some assignments, right, along the way. But there's still the mission that God has for you. And a lot of times, if you don't put yourself in the right position, you can feel yourself being pulled in 50 different directions. And those things and people that you normally look upon as anchors, for stability purposes, when it feels like they're not around and they're not available, then you start to want to retreat from things. So I know y'all like, what happened? What is he talking about? I find myself, and I'm just talking about me. I find myself not necessarily at a crossroads, but it's at one of those things where you just kind of have to retreat to regroup. You understand what I'm saying? So see, retreat doesn't mean surrender. Like, oh God, I'm going to help somebody right now. Retreat does not mean surrender. So you can retreat and regroup, and then advance. But see, if you try to go forward without a proper plan, without proper planning, oh my God, when you try to go forward without proper planning, then you'll end up losing not just a battle, but you'll end up losing a war. But if you retreat to regroup, if you retreat to regroup and re-strategize, then move forward. Now, see, that's what good leaders do. Good leaders don't just forge ahead just because. Good leaders take the time to say, hey, I know we said we were going to take that mountain and we were going to take that ridge, but right now, based off what we have, we need to take another look at this situation and come at it a different way. And you got to have people around you that are okay with asking questions and being asked questions of without taking it personal. See, if you can't be a good leader if you're not a good follower. I'm gonna help somebody. You can't be a good leader if you're not a good follower. And sometimes you have to sit back and say, you know what? Let me take a step back and take a deep breath and take a look around the room and make sure everything is right and everybody is in their right position and everything is moving in the right direction, and then we go forward. I'm not saying stay stagnant. I'm not saying sit still, and I'm not saying give up. You didn't hear me use those words. I'm not saying shut down. I'm saying take a breath. I'm saying just, you know, sometimes, you know, you get up in the, when you first wake up in the morning and you got to wipe, you know, you open your eyes and you can't quite focus and you have to wipe your eye a little bit until everything in the room comes into focus. Maybe we need to sometimes need to take a step back and just wipe our eyes and take a deep breath and then reexamine the territory again. Yeah. Maybe sometime we need to just take a step back and say, okay, God, I know what you said, God, and I believe you, God, but God, I need to take a step back for a second, God, so I can get right with my footsteps together and get my stuff together so I can finish this race that you sent me on. But if I do it right now on the pace that I'm doing it, if I do it without prayer and without supplication, God, then this thing ain't gonna work out. So Lord, I need you to let me just focus for a minute. And see, I love how God works. God ain't gonna send you nowhere he didn't equip you to go at in the first place. He ain't gonna send you somewhere he didn't already prepare for you in the first place. I just believe God wouldn't do us that way, and I believe God gives us a time. That's the purpose for meditation. That's the purpose for personal devotion. I think some of us are going through so many different trials and tests is because our meditation is off. Our time of communing with God is being interrupted by all of this nonsense and all of these little trivial, stupid arguments and all of this stuff that at the end of the day doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Angela. Thank you. Angela said you can't take last year's instruction and use it now. You got to renew those plans, restructure, reset, and stay prepared. Oh, my God. Yes, I received that. Yes. You know, it's strange. It's strange when you start to. When your vision starts to get a little bit clear. I remember the first time, and this, God, this is going to help somebody. I remember the first time I put on my first pair of glasses, right? I remember the first time I put on my first pair of glasses. I got my first pair of glasses when I was 35 years old, right? Wait, let me think. 2005. Yeah. I put on my first pair of glasses 35 years old. Never needed, never, you know, when I would go to the doctor, you know, I had 20/20 vision and I was good. I stopped getting my eyes checked because, you know, I could see everything was good. But then right around somewhere between age 34 and 35, you know, I'm driving and it's like you really don't notice stuff when you're driving to places that you go to all the time, because when you're going to, oh, I'm going to help somebody. When you go to places that you go to all the time, you really don't need to see the street signs. Y'all help me, because you've been there before, because it's familiar to you. But see, when you go in a new direction and you get new coordinates, when you get a new destination, you need to be able to read the signs. You need clear vision to be able to see. So I started driving around and I was going to new areas and I started noticing, and I'm looking at the map and I would read the map, but then I would look at the signs on the expressway and I couldn't see them until it was too late. So I would miss my turn, or I would miss my destination because I couldn't see Help me, Lord. So I decided, I said, Dana, you okay? I talked to my mama. My mama said, boy, you got to go to the doctor. Go get your eyes checked. I said, okay, all right, I'll go do it. So I went to this place up here in Oak Park, and lovely people over there. And I went over there, and they checked my eyes, and the doctor said, well, you got, because see, 20/20 is like perfect, right? That's like perfect. So the doctor said, well, you got, you know, you still good over here. You got like 21, 20, like high, the higher the number, the worse the vision, right? The higher the number, the worse the vision. So I had like 21 over here in my right eye, but then like 22 and something over here in the left eye. So I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, they put the little thing on when you get ready to get your eyes tested. So they, you know, turn in the thing and they telling you to read the line. He's like, oh, okay. So I'm reading the thing, and then he clicking, and then he finally said, okay, read the bottom line. And he clicked it to a point, and I read the thing down there, said made 19 something. He's like, oh, okay. So he said, this is what you need. This is your prescription. It's not a lot, but this is what you need. I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. So I went on about my business, left the eye doctor that day, called me back about three or four weeks later. I'm gonna help somebody. Y'all stay with me. I'm gonna help somebody. Go get my glasses, right? All of a sudden, I put these glasses on. Now, in the doctor's office, it didn't really mean nothing to me at the optometrist. You know, at the optometrist, it didn't mean a lot in the office when I put the glasses on. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I'm good. I can see, whatever. But when I stepped outside onto Lake Street, my God, when I stepped outside, I started looking east and west, and the place where the eye doctor is versus Harlem Avenue. So I looked towards Harlem, and all of a sudden I could see clear down the street, and then I started noticing things that I otherwise could not see because my vision was obstructed. Help me, Holy Ghost. So these glasses helped me to see. I was like, oh my God, wait a minute. So now, true story, I don't know if I called my mother, or I think I called my niece, Danielle. I called one of them. I said, wait a minute, y'all, I'm walking down the street, and I said, stuff is just like everywhere. They said, what you talking about? I said, I see stuff. Like, I could just, I literally felt like I had been walking around in some sort of a fog or a cloud. And I'm like, wait a minute, why didn't I go get glasses sooner? I say all that to say, a lot of times we are so distracted and we don't realize it until we clear some stuff out of our way. And when we're able to do that, come on, when we're able to do that, now all of a sudden a whole new world opens up. So now I'm walking down. So watch this. As I'm walking down Lake Street, I'm taking these weird steps because all of a sudden the ground and everything looks different to me, you know, and now it's like I see everything. So I'm focused on this and I'm focused on that. Literally, I just stopped and stood still and just started looking at my surroundings. So then when I got in the car, it was a whole new thing because now I'm like distracted by everything because see, prior to I had tunnel vision and I couldn't see and I could barely focus. But then it was like all of a sudden now everything, my peripherals was like everywhere. I'm like, oh my God, what is this thing called sight? I was just in amazement. I really was. So I said all that to say we need to be careful. We need to be careful of our vision being obstructed, whether that means that people in your life that are obstructing your vision, situations or circumstances in your life that are obstructing your vision. You know, it could be little bitty small things. Seriously, it really could. It ain't got to be a person. It could be just small things. It could be somebody's behavior. You know, it could be just those things that stop you from being able to proceed in the direction that God has you to do. So I wanted to take some time to refocus, and that may still happen. I may, you know, if we can figure out a way to keep everything going here, I may need to take a sabbatical from the show. Seriously, just to recharge and reinvigorate some things. And it's not about y'all, because you know I look at it like this. This is God's platform, and that means anyone that would sit here would still be on God's platform and God would use them just like he uses me. Amen. 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 So that was just something that was that was on my heart. I just wanted to share that with you all. Because yeah, you know, sometimes it can be, you know what, people see what they want to see. And a lot of times people only see what you show them. And if people get if people get the thought, or if people's vision of you or idea of you is that nothing ever bothers you and everything just, you know, stuff hits you, but it rolls off you like the water off the back of a duck. And no matter what it is, people think that, you know, nothing bothers you. You're a robot. You know, you pretend to be superhero. So we're going to treat you like superhero. We're going to act like nothing bothers you. But that's not always the case. I'll say that again. That's not always the case. And it's hard when that's the image that you have placed out there. And it's not me blaming anybody, but it's hard when that's the image that you placed out there. And because that's the image, nobody ever actually checks to see if you okay. I'm gonna get through this. Nobody actually. It's like people know you good. You know, you get that whole you good deal. You know, you get the whole you good text, or, you know, whatever. But nobody ever just says, hey, man, you got a lot going on. Everything cool. You know, everything all right. You don't get that. And a lot of it is your own fault, because it's the image. It's what you portray. So because you portray everything is 100, everything is copacetic, everything is all right, then that's what you get. But a lot of times that's not the case. And I might not even just be speaking for me. I could be speaking for some of y'all right now. A lot of times that's not the case. Because everything is not always as it seems. Wow. And then the very people that you would jump to defend, the very people that you look to if somebody say something wrong about them, you jump to their defense in a minute. The very people who you look for just to be like, man, are you good? Are you okay? Is everything all right? I'm just asking because something in me is telling me that something is wrong, but they don't feel like they should ask you, or they don't know how. But then they don't realize that they also end up being on the other end of the attack. So I'm going to say this to you. I know some of y'all have some friends, and some of y'all are the strong ones. Some of y'all are the ones who are always strong for everybody else. Or you might be the one, or you may be a friend of someone who's always strong for you. You can call them and they can be there and they can run there and they can help you out. They'll listen to you on the phone. They'll cry on the phone with you. They'll cry on your shoulder. They may just need a hug or whatever. You need to check on those people that you always, you know what I'm saying? It's okay to check on folks. That's why when people talk about pastors and pastors having pastors and preachers having pastors and people having mentors and people they can talk to, you know, it's one thing. But sometimes, you know, they're just those people that you look to depend on, that you reach out for, and it's like, man, where y'all at? See, I understand what Facebook is. I understand what social media is. I understand what all these mediums are. You know, it's a way to talk to people, but a lot of it is not real relationships. Come on, can we talk Facebook? A lot of it is not Facebook. A lot of it is not. It's not real. And I mean, let's be honest. I got, what, 4,000? I don't even know. I done got lost count. It's 4,000, 5,000 people, friends on Facebook. I can tell you right now, I stopped counting people that I know for real after about 250. Meaning people that I've met and shook their hand or broke bread with, I stopped counting after about 250. The rest of the people, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you. There's a reason that I accepted your request. There's a reason you accepted mine or whatever. But let's just be real. And then out of them 250 that I know that I've either shaken hands or hugged or broke bread with, out of that 250, I can say it's probably, oh my God, 30 that I actually talked to. And out of that 30 I actually talked to, come on somebody, it's probably only 15 that I call friend. And I say that because yeah, that's good, Felicia. Are we truly ready to listen to people? Sometimes people don't really want you. Sometimes people just want to be listened to. They don't want you to talk back. They don't want you to. Maybe I don't want your opinion at the very time I say I need to talk. Maybe I just need you just to sit there and listen. Don't judge. Don't ask no questions. Just sit there. And then, as my friend, you know when you can come back and say, "Okay, are you now ready to talk?" See, sometimes we need those people. We need those people around us to keep us grounded. See, it's great to have cheerleaders. It's great to have, all the people, rah, 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 rah. It's great. It's great. But it's like I heard a famous athlete say, once I can no longer play the game, will you still cheer for me? See, don't cheer for me for what I can do for you. Cheer for me because you actually care. Oh, my God. See, I think a lot of the disconnect, oh my God, this is going to help somebody. A lot of the disconnect between people and churches right now is because so many people in church feel like they're just being used. Pastor, do you really care about me? Deacon so-and-so, do you really care about me? Or do you just care about my offering? Or do you just care about my gift that I use on Sunday? Do you just care about my talent that I put on display? Do you care about my skill that I brought to your congregation? Or do you actually really care about me? See, sometimes we need to, we need to just, when you ask people how they doing, it's kind of cliche, good morning, hey, how you doing? Good morning, but if it's somebody you really care about, they'll know that how you doing is a real question. See, if I know you've been going through something, if I got a feeling that something ain't right, when I ask you how you're doing, it's not a cliche. It means I really care about what's going on. And I'm hoping the response I get is good news. And then if it's not good news, I'm prepared for whatever you might say. That's what friends do. That's what people who really care do. It's not that you're looking for anybody to be anybody to sympathize with your plight or anything like that, but there's this thing called empathy. There is this thing called empathy, and I think we a lot of times we get the two confused. Wow. Angela Johnson says, Dana, I believe part of this is because you are making some crucial decisions as some of us leaders are right now. Shame the devil. All you do to God, all you do, God, you do well. All you do good, you do well. You're in good hands, man. Bless you, sis. Bless you, twin. Felicia Martin says, they are. She says, I told you back then and you was all on me. When I left, didn't know me. Conditional love and relationships. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But see, people need people to be empathetic. See, empathy, and maybe y'all don't understand. See, empathy, they're going to help somebody. Empathy is the ability to experience the feeling of the other person. That's what empathy is. Like, meaning I understand. Right? Sympathy is on the other side, meaning that I feel sorry. I'm sorry. That's different. So I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I just need you to understand that sometimes the way you talk and sometimes the way you behave, or sometimes, you know, sometimes people don't like to be spoke to certain kind of ways. And sometimes people need to take a step back, and sometimes people need to recognize that, hey, guess what? You just don't get to talk to me any kind of way. Nor should you expect to be talked to any kind of way. See, there's this thing in church that we've gotten it real twisted. We believe because we all share this Christian bloodline, right? This thing called Christianity, that we're supposed to be able to take on anything. And you, as my Christian brother and sister, I can come to you and say whatever I want to say anytime I feel like it. And because you're a Christian too, you ought to just be able to take it. But see, that thought process gonna get somebody hurt. it's gonna get you hurt physically. It may get you hurt physically. It may get you hurt spiritually, or your pride might get crushed. But we need to be careful. And even those of us who's always there, a shoulder for everybody else, even those of us who do that, even we need a recharge. There needs to be a place where even the strongest need a place that their minds can just rest for a minute. But no, see, Peter was a fighter, Felicia. Peter had to learn. Peter had been with Jesus all that time, and at a crucial point, Peter went off. Now, he walked with Jesus. So if Peter can go off after walking with the physical Jesus, don't think that me and you still don't have issues, that me and you can't go off if provoked the wrong way. So, yeah, absolutely. Pick your battles. Don't be a doormat. Amen. 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 And amen. Oh, God. Oh, God. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with y'all. I wasn't trying to get all super deep or nothing like that. Y'all know I don't even roll like that. I wasn't trying to get super deep. I was just sharing with y'all. So let's just stay in prayer for one another. Seriously, let's stay in prayer for one another, and God will give the vision. God will give the direction. God will give the instruction, and your job and my job is to be ready to move when he says to move. Amen. 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 Let's go. So look, y'all, we got this good article, right? Three core elements of a growing church. That's what we're gonna move into in a few minutes. If y'all got questions, comments, I don't know if we're getting emails. Let me see what's going on over here on the Blog Talk side. Yeah, okay. Moving right along. Let me boy. Let me see. Making sure we don't have any I haven't missed any emails over here. But if you got any questions, comments, something, you know, that's going on with you, we can definitely talk about that. But definitely you all, just let's seriously keep each other in prayer. And real prayers. Don't pray your personal prayer. You know, if you're gonna pray for somebody, you know, pray that God gives them clarity. Don't pray that God can show them what you want them to see. Ah, come on, see, that's not real praying. Don't pray that God will show them what you think they ought to see. Just pray that God would give that him or her clarity. That's all. Because see, for some folk, that's all they need is clarity. For some folk, they just need some of the trees moved so they can see clearly. For some folk, they just need a prescription change so they can focus a little better. They don't pray for me that I see what you see, or so that I can see what you think I ought to be doing. Just pray for clarity's sake. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. That's it. That's it. I think if we did that, man, we would be so much more greater people if we did that way. Just my thought. So anyway, we're gonna move on. We're gonna keep it going. I'm gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna take a real quick break and get it together. And then we gonna finish out. We're gonna go ahead and jump into today's conversation. Three core elements of a growing church. Let's see. Let me see. I'm gonna give y'all some real music because I know some of y'all don't really like certain stuff. But I'm gonna give y'all some music here for a second. We'll be right back, y'all. Free worshiper. Peace.
Come on, let's stay in that spirit right there. If you're free.
Facebook jail, so I only play a snippet of the song before Facebook has a hissy fit. So I'm gonna let that go. Man, that was free worship. I love that. Anyway, y'all, so we're gonna jump right into today's conversation. We're gonna jump right into that. Yeah. That's Todd. But we're gonna jump right into today's conversation. Three core elements of a growing church. Let's jump into that. I think this might bless somebody. The writer says this. He says, church growth comes down to one word. He says it's a word that is easy to overuse, but one that has to drive everything we do. That word is the gospel. Mm-hmm. He says church growth isn't about attendance or giving. It's about the gospel. The good news that even though we're dead in our sins, Christ died for us and reconciled us to God. He says the gospel is the message of hope that everyone needs to hear and experience. And so this is, he says, and this is why we love serving pastors. You get to spend your time sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. You don't just have to, you get to. Mm-hmm. He says it's a divine privilege, and that's absolutely correct. It is. It's a divine privilege to serve. He says, so many people in your town need to hear the gospel, and your church gets to share it with them. So many marriages in your church need to be restored by the gospel, and you get to model that. He says, this is why you don't need new tactics. You need carefully executed strategy. Uh-huh. You need a carefully executed strategy. It ain't nothing new. You just need a new strategy. The gospel is the same. It doesn't change. You just need a new strategy. So the writer says this. He says, we've worked with hundreds of churches. Many of them are growing churches, reaching lots of new people. Others are stuck and have been the same size for years. He says, working with so many different churches, we've noticed three core elements of growing churches and want to share them with you today. Okay, y'all, this is going to be good. He says, these are the things we've seen growing churches get right. All right, y'all ready? Y'all know I'm going to share it with you. Let me get ready so I can get this good. All right, let me get this one in here. All right, so here we go. We're talking about three core elements of a growing church. Here we go. First one is growing churches communicate purpose and mission. Y'all get that? Growing churches communicate purpose and mission. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I'll say it again. Growing churches communicate purpose and mission. The writer says this. He says, chances are you've heard these two words before. And certainly a church growth guy talking about purpose and mission isn't a new thing. He goes on to say this. He says, hang with me because this is really important. Growing churches are really clear about purpose and mission, and those are two very different terms. Purpose and mission are two very different terms. Y'all ready? Okay, so let's go. Let's go. He says, your purpose is the deep reason you exist. Your purpose is the deep reason you exist. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Your purpose is the deep reason you exist. Let's talk about it. He says this. He says, it comes from God and it's eternal. He says, it will never change and it has nothing to do with where your church is located or what kind of ministries you have. Oh, my God. He says, it's true now and it'll be true 25 years from now. He says, one of my favorite leadership books is by Simon Sinek, a book, Start With Why. He says, every organization, including churches, needs to clarify the why, the real reason why they exist. He says, it's more important to get a clear definition about why than it is to clarify the what. Can we pause right there? Why is an amazing question, especially when it comes to the purpose of your church or the mission of your church. Why do you want to start this ministry? Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Don't go to sleep on me. Don't go to sleep on me. Why do you want to start this ministry? Why do you have this burning desire to do this ministry? This is good. This is good. He says, before you talk about ministry programs and strategies, you need to have a clear why. You got to have a solid purpose. Now, let's dig down a little deeper. He says, your church may say this in a creative way. He says, but I'll bet all my money in the pockets that your church's purpose is pretty similar to the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. He says, when we started the church in Atlanta, we had a sense of purpose, but we hadn't taken the time to clarify in a memorable sentence. We didn't really talk about it on a regular basis because the purpose was understood. But a mentor challenged me to put it into hard work, so we did. We clarified our purpose statement and began talking about it all the time. We said our purpose like this. We're here to lead people from where they are to where God wants them to be. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're here to lead people. That's good. From where they are to where God wants them to be. See, that's purpose. See, it's easy to say our purpose is reaching and teaching the lost. That's not your purpose. That's God's commandment. Go ye therefore. That's a command. But what's your purpose? Like, what's your reason? What's the cause of all this? Purpose. You ought to have one. The writer says this. He says, we said this in our welcome. I wrote it in our giver thank you notes. He says, I made it my email signature. After a year or so, he says, I would start to say it and our church people would say it. Said back. That's when we just started getting it. This is why I love one of my mentors, Dr. Gerald Dew. He said this. He says his the purpose of his church is to get you from here to there, and then from there to here. And it was a purpose behind it. He said, I want to get you from where you are to here, right? And then once I get you here, I want to prepare you to go there. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. So you gotta have people need something to cling after. So I have to have a put. There's a reason why I'm doing this. There's a reason why you get up and go to the gym in the morning, right? It's not just to you don't just get up and go. There's a purpose behind it. There's some goal behind what you're trying to do. There's some end result that you're trying to accomplish, right? So what's your purpose? What's your purpose? That's the question. What's your purpose? Ooh, this is preachable. This is preachable right here. He says today, this is the writer says this. He says today his family is involved with North Point Community Church, where Andy Standy is the pastor. He says the purpose of North Point is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. He says that's a short, compact purpose statement, and I hear it all the time. But that here's the thing about purpose. It's never really accomplished. He says you can't check the box and move on to something else. Uh-oh, don't miss it. He says it's not like I was going to come to church office one Monday and say, listen up, everybody. We've led all the people from where they are to where God wants them to be. Now, what's next? It was never going to be mission accomplished because it never is. It never is. He says that's why purpose isn't always the best motivator for people. He said because it's so long term that it's tough for people to grasp. Uh-huh. You see, purpose is really important, but it's really generic. That's why growing churches communicate a second thing. After purpose comes mission. Ah, come on now. After purpose comes mission. See, once you have a purpose, now you need to be able to, now you need to go out and do this thing. Now you need to set out and actually do the job. You need to do what you were purposed to do. Now you need to put a plan. Come on, somebody. You need to put a plan into action. Now I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to get people from here to there. Okay, that's my purpose. Now, how do I go about doing it? Oh, see, now we move it into the realm of get up and do something. How do I go about doing it? That's real purpose. That's where the mission comes in. Don't miss this, y'all. That's where the mission comes in. When do you stop talking about your purpose? Oh, I believe God put me here to do this, and I was put here. God created me to be a praiser and all sorts of. Okay, so God created. So how are you going to start the process then? Once you know your purpose, what's your plan? What's your action plan? What's your strategy behind it? Because, see, everybody can have a purpose. But if there's no plan behind it, if there is no mission to go on, then what was all of that finding out why? Let's go. Let's go. The writer says this. He says, your mission is what you're trying to do now. So let me make sure I give y'all the purpose piece. Hold on. Let me get y'all the purpose piece. Boom. All right. Get y'all the purpose piece. So here's the purpose piece. It's a lot, but I just gave y'all that, right? That's the purpose piece. Then here we go. The writer says this. He says, your mission is what you're trying to do now. All right. The writer says, your mission isn't about why. It's about now. It's about what's next. It's about here's what our church is doing in the next season and what we're going to look like. Ah, come on. He says, here's what our church is doing in the next season and what we're going to look like. Y'all know the organization NASA, Explore Space, Land on the Moon or Mars. Christ Church of the Valley, impact 100,000 Phoenix area residents. That's their mission. Now, some people use the word mission where I use the word purpose, the writer says. He says, and some people use the word vision instead of mission. And some people will tell you mission, vision, and purpose are three different things. But we're all keeping it simple and practical for you. He says, so even if you adopt different terms, you need to communicate two things. First one never changing, never accomplished, deep sense of why. We call this purpose. Never changing, never accomplished, but a deep sense of why. Like, here's my feel. I really feel, this is me, I really feel like part of my purpose, me, I'm talking about Dana, is outside of the church. And that's why every opportunity I get to go out and do something and be a part of something, I go. Because that's why when I sit back, like early on in the show, for you guys that weren't listening earlier, I was talking about all the stuff that's happening all around the world and this feeling of helplessness came across me because I felt purposeful enough to be like, there's something that I need to be doing. I felt like this is why I was here. But then it's like, okay, now how do we put these things into action? Then the writer says, he says, the second one is, and one time sensitive, going to check it off the box. Here's what it looks like, rally cry. We call that mission. He says, and a one time sensitive, going to check it off the box is what we call the rally cry. That's mission. Growing churches have a deep sense of God-given purpose and have a clear vision of what the next few years look like. What's your purpose? And then what's your mission? What's your purpose? And then what's your mission? You ought to be able to tell you, if someone asks you, here's the deal, and I would ask this to any pastor right now. Any pastor, any leader of a church. I don't care if you ain't the pastor. You might not have a pastor. You might be the chairman of the deacon board or the chairman of the trustee board. If somebody came to you right now and asked you, what is the purpose of your church? What's the purpose of it? Don't quote a scripture to me. Because see, that was God's purpose for everybody. That was God's command for everybody. What's your purpose? What role do you play in the carrying out of the command? What's your part? What cog in the wheel are you? Huh? What cog in the wheel? What role do you play in the building of the kingdom? Are you the hammer? Are you the nail? Are you the foundation? Are you the tape that covers the wall while the paint is being done? What part do you play? Everybody serves a purpose. So what part do you play? Let's keep going. The writer says this. Let me get this one up here for y'all. Your mission. Come on. I got to make sure I put this over here for the people on Ustream, too. I'm sorry, Ustream people. I'm sorry. I didn't put this over here for y'all. Let me get this over here. Amen. All right. Woo, too much going on, y'all. Too much going on. Need a little help. All right. So the writer says this. He says, growing churches do one or two things very well. Growing churches do one or two things very well. He says, when I was neck deep in the church plant, he says, one of the church leadership books I read was Church Unique by Will Mancini. He says, I still recommend it to pastors all the time, mostly because of this one concept. He says, Will describes something he calls the kingdom concept. It's a unique combination of three things. First, you've got your local predicament. Uh-huh. He says, you have to look hard at the real needs of your community. Look real hard at the needs of your community. Then he says, not what other churches are doing and not what's popular online, but what's in your own backyard. Then he says, what are the unique needs and opportunities where God has placed you? That's part one. Mm-hmm. Part two says, he calls your collective potential. Uh-huh. He says, when you look at your church, your location, your facilities, your history, and your people, what are their unique resources and capabilities God has brought together? In other words, who are you really? Meaning, who are you? What is the real identity of your church? Who are you? Why are you here? What's the real identity of your church? That's what he says. Then he says, the third circle he calls the apostolic spirit. He says, what particular focus and energy gets you and your leadership excited? This is your personal and collective calling. What do you feel like God has put you here to do? He says, right in the center where those three circles meet is your kingdom concept. That's where you should focus your time, energy, and resources. Oh, my God. So this pastor says this. He says, I asked him what was this church better at than all the other churches. He answered quick. He says, serve the down and out. That's what we do. That's who we are. People come to our church who share this value and find a home and mission and purpose. If you aren't into those things, you're probably not going to stick around. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Just means you're not a good fit. Wow. That's kingdom concept. So you got to find out. You got to find out who you are. That's good stuff, man. This is, oh my God, this is good stuff. You got to find out who you are. You got to find out who you are. You got to find out your potential, and then you got to find out what spirit, what ignites your spirit in the church. What ignites your spirit in the church? The whole kingdom concept. What in the church ignites your spirit? Like you could be one who is big on helping people, right? That you could have this gift of helps and helping people really gives you a sense of satisfaction. And so if that's where God has directed you, then that's where your focus ought to be. Not saying you can't do other things. But when you start putting these circles together, there's going to be an intersect in between those three circles, and helps is going to be right there in the middle. Because everything that you do is going to revolve around making sure that somebody got helped. That's the kingdom connection. The kingdom concept, rather. I like this. The writer says this. He says, as we've coached hundreds of pastors, we've seen this to be true with growing churches. They don't all have it together. He says, they might not all run like well-oiled machines. You think they are, and they're not doing everything great, but they do one or two things very well. See, I think a lot of times too many churches are trying to do everything because somebody else is doing it, but because you're trying to do everything, the few things that you do well suffer. The few things that you can do well suffer because you're trying to do too much too soon. But the things you can do well, those are the things you ought to push to the limit. The things you do well ought to be the things you ought to do the most of. It's like if you cook, right? So I being funny, because you know some of y'all can cook, some of y'all can't. Let's just be honest. I'm talking about men and women, because I don't want nobody to be offended. But some of y'all can cook and some of y'all can't, right? But some of y'all got a couple dishes that you can cook real well, right? So it means you get invited to a party and they say, hey, you know, you make spaghetti real well, right? That means they've tasted it, they've tried it, everybody seems to like it, then that's what you bring. Now, you may be able to cook lasagna. You may even be able to make a pasta salad, but you might not make it that well. So you're going to make also, so instead of you just doing the spaghetti, you can say, well, you know what, I'm going to make the spaghetti, but I'm going to make this other dish, and I'm going to make this other dish, and I'm going to surprise them. I'm going to come with some extra stuff. And then you do all this extra stuff, right? And then at the last minute, because you know the spaghetti dish so well, you throw it together at the last minute. I'm going to help somebody today. You throw it together at the last minute. And then because you threw it together, you now end up just half doing everything. Nothing, what you did well didn't even get the focus it should have, because you were too busy trying to do this over here and do this over there. I just helped somebody. But the thing you did well, you didn't even do well. So now everything is a mess. I know. Y'all ain't praying. Oh, my God. So in the process, you miss out on an opportunity to do the one thing you can do very well. You know, like they have these memes on Facebook now, on social media, said you had one job. You had one job. Do what you do well. You had one job. One. Do what you do well, but you decide you want to do a whole bunch of other stuff, and then you cause a catastrophe by doing what you wanted to do instead of doing what you do well. If everybody does what they do well instead of trying to do everything. See, watch this. You could be the most organized person in the world, right? Which means you do things, you're real good at planning and putting things together, right? Okay, fine. But maybe you're not the best communicator. I'm gonna help somebody. You could be the best planner, best organizer, but you're probably not the best communicator. So what happens is all of your planning and organization gets lost in the communication process. And then because you get questioned, now you think people are questioning your organizational and planning skills. And that's not the case. It's the communication that caused the question. It's not your organization and your planning. It's the communication or lack thereof. Let's go. So the writer says this. He says, getting back to these churches, they don't do everything great. He says, but they do one or two things really well. He says they don't dabble, they focus. In some cases, they intentionally choose to do some things poorly, or watch this, or even not at all, so they can put the focus on what they do best. Come on now. Here's the deal, right? I am not a fan of playing basketball. This is me, right? Now, y'all say, wait a minute, you know, he tall and he black. How come he don't like to play basketball? I'm not a fan. First of all, I ain't tall enough. I'm only 6'1 and a half, so I'm not tall enough to, like, you know, play basketball. But here's the deal. I knew on the basketball court there was one thing that I could do very well on the basketball court, right? That was rebound the ball. Like, if I got picked on the team, my cousin, I went out and played with them, friends were on the block, on Wilcox. If we went out and played basketball, they had two words for me. They had two words for me. Don't shoot. Whatever you do, don't shoot. You just go up and get the rebound. You let us do the shooting. Don't do none of that. When we get the ball, where do you go? Down low. You go down low, and when we shoot, if we miss, your job is to get the ball and get it back to us. Guess what? I learned, and I did it very, very well. You don't think that works? See Dennis Rodman if you don't believe me. Dennis Rodman learned how to do one thing, and it carried him to 5 championships? 6? How many he got? I don't even know how many. How many rings Rodman got? 5 or 6? That's because Rodman said, look, I know y'all don't like me. I know I should be able to do all these things because I'm an NBA athlete. I'm an NBA All-Star. I'm Defensive Player of the Year. But I know how to rebound the ball, and that's what I'm going to do. And he made millions of dollars doing it and won many championships doing it. Learn what you can do and do it well. Just do it well. You want to work on the kitchen committee, but you can't cook. But maybe you can clean. So maybe your part of the working in the kitchen committee is cleaning up the kitchen after the people who cook get done. You see what I'm saying? Learn what you can do and what you can do well. Maybe you're really creative, right? You're really creative. You're really good at designing things. You're good at putting flyers and banners and all that stuff together. But you're not real good. You're not real good at follow through. You're not really good at following through. So you have the great idea, but then putting it on, but making it come to pass is something else. So that's why it's called teamwork. You draw it up, and then you give it to us, and we'll go get it done. That's why it's called teamwork. Because see, if I leave it to you to draw it up, and then I leave it to you to go and get it done, it might not get done, or it may not get done on time. But learn what you do well. Some people are just good soldiers. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a good soldier. Amen. Let's keep going. I don't want to run out of time. We got 10 minutes. He says, I hope this takes some of the weight off your shoulders. He says, you personally don't have to be great at everything, and your church doesn't have to be great at everything either. He says, there's something in your church that deserves an unfair amount of people and resources. There is something in your church that deserves an unfair amount of people and resources. He says, watch this now. Fairness gets you into trouble. He says, dividing up the pie so that every program and ministry gets the same amount of energy is a huge mistake. Oh, my God. He says, it's like trying to spread a little bit of peanut butter and trying to cover a slice of bread. He says, you don't have that much peanut butter in the first place, and you try to make it go a long way. He said, that program gets a little bit of money. This ministry gets a few volunteers. We're spreading out resources, trying to be fair, and trying to keep everyone happy. Can I help somebody? So you got all these programs in the church, right? And at the budget meeting, y'all sit down and say, okay, well, we give, you know, we only go, like, the budget is $250 per program. So you get $250, they get $250, they get $250, and they get $250, right? But what about this outreach program really needs the more of the focus? You really want to put more of the focus behind this outreach program because that's the one you do really, really well. I'm just speaking hypothetically now. That's the one you do really, really well. And all these other programs are just programs. They just for show. Ain't nobody's life being changed. Ain't nobody changing their habit because it's just so that the people inside the building can be edified. God ain't getting no glory. It's just so we can say, hey, I invited so-and-so to church, or we had an extra couple of people show up, blah, 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 blah. But what about putting those resources behind the programs that actually can have an effect on the community that your church sits in? See, a lot of the reasons so many churches are in trouble because we talk about being fair. And T.D. Jakes said this a long time ago, favor ain't fair. T.D. Jakes said it. Show said it. Favor ain't fair. And if God has placed favor over someone else, oh my God, help me, Holy Ghost. If God has placed favor over someone else or someone else's mission versus what you deem to be important, what you deem, not what God has deemed, what you deem to be important, then you want to get mad and holler, that ain't fair. But see, being fair doesn't work. I like this. The writer says this. He says, when you look at things, God is likely to use to grow your church. That's where you need to focus your resources. He says you need to put an unreasonable amount of energy into your kingdom concept. Pouring money and people into things just because other churches are doing it isn't the right way to grow your church. It's the way to be stressed and broke. Oh, my God. He says, what ministry in your church needs an unreasonable amount of resources? What ministry? Oh, God, I want y'all to look right now. Ask somebody. Think about this in your own churches, y'all. I'm asking y'all this question. In your own church, what ministry needs an unreasonable amount of resources? Because that's where your focus ought to be. You go, man, well, why would we put all that into that? I can't see how doing that. It ain't about what you see. It ain't about what you see. He says this. He says, maybe you're like my pastor friend and you want to stake your claim on serving the community. Maybe you're in a young family area and you need to invest heavily into a children's ministry. He says, when you figure out your kingdom concept, don't try to fit in. Don't try to fit it in. Double down on it. That means pour what you have into it. If you know you have if you got a bunch of kids running around your church, right? And you know you need a children's ministry, which means you probably need someone to come in and run that children's ministry, which means you probably need to invest. Watch this. Means you probably need to invest in a youth pastor. Meaning, guess what? You probably need to invest. You need to probably pull some money from some other program to make sure that you can pay a youth pastor to come in and be a full-time youth pastor so he can be there for those children. Then guess what? That's what you need to do. If that means I'm going to pull some resources, and guess what? I can't pay all you musicians all this money. Guess what? I can't pay all y'all all this money to be playing these wrong notes. Help me, Holy Ghost. I can't pay y'all to be singing these same songs and singing them off key. I can't keep paying you all this money when I got a bunch of kids running around here and I ain't got nobody to help teach them. I can't keep pouring all this money into this day and that day and this day and that day, and I need a youth pastor. So you see what I'm saying? You have to be able to recognize that if this is a need in your church, depending on what your church needs, if this is a need in your church and it's something that you do well, you got to invest in it. And sometimes investing means saving somewhere else. Oh, my God. I mean, I can't pour over here and I really need to pour over here. You see what I'm saying? It's like, watch this. Oh, I'm going to help somebody, right? We got $30. Let's just make it 50 because gas is going up and down. We got $50 and we got three cars. Now we're gonna split that 50 up to give everybody some gas. We all trying to go in the same direction. But we're gonna split this 50 and we're going to put it in three different cars, even though we're all going to the same destination. Help me, Holy Ghost, with this thing right here. But when what we could do is invest all of this 50 into the one car. Come on, somebody. Everybody pile in and support and get in the one car. And we all start driving, same goal, same destination, but we're going to do it together. And watch this. Nobody is left behind. Oh, Lord, help us today, Holy Ghost. Nobody gets left behind. But no, no. Well, you know, they want to do it over here, Pastor, and I think it's all right. It's only fair that we let them get part of that $50, Pastor. Well, you know, Pastor, she's been at the church for such and such years, and it's only fair that we give her this here reward, Pastor, because she's been here so long. It's only fair that we do. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no. This mission over here is important. What is happening over here is important. This is where we're focused at right now. This is what's going to grow the church. So I understand she's been here. I understand you like this car better. But this one right here is the one that we work it well. So we're going to invest in this one. Help me, Lord. We got 3 minutes. So this is the end part. Let me get to this. Ooh, I don't know if I'm able to finish this out. My God. He says this. He says, embrace the tension. He says, there's this tension between church health and church growth. And we believe it's a tension that should never really go away. Some say it's all about church growth. And we'll do anything short of sin to reach people. He says, these statements sound great, but they're dangerously close to hype. He says, if you're all about growth, you'll use a bozo tactic to get people to your church, like preaching Song of Solomon from a king-sized bed. Don't nobody want to see that. Now, some of y'all don't get the Song of Solomon reference. That's because you ain't never read Song of Solomon. But if you ever see a preacher doing an illustration where he laying in the bed in the pulpit and he decides he wants to read scripture from Song of Solomon, read Song of Solomon and you'll know why that's not a good idea. I'm just going to leave that for y'all who, you know, my Bible readers know what Song of Solomon is. Song of Solomon got some 50 Shades type stuff going on. I'm just going to leave that over there. I ain't going to say nothing else. I read the whole Bible. See, some of y'all only read the four Gospels and think y'all got it all. I read the whole Bible. Y'all need to read y'all some Song of Solomon and come back at me when you read it. This is what the writer says. He says, there's just something off about a church that is solely focused on growth. It's like they're missing something. And he said, there's the church health crowd. He says, and we have nothing to do. These are the people who have nothing to do with growth. Nothing to do with growth. I just find this amazing, y'all. I'm not going to be able to finish this thing today. I'm about to finish. I think I'm going to finish this on Friday because I'm going to come back and do this. This is going to be good. I thought I was going to have time to do this today, but something came up this morning, flipped the whole script, so got to be somewhere else. But anyway, y'all, look, this has been amazing. I hate to leave y'all like this, right? I do. This is why there needs to be an adjustment period and some stuff going on because it's just too much happening. Y'all don't get it, but I do. Father God, we thank you right now for the time that you've gave us, God. We thank you right now for your presence, God. We thank you for what you've done for us, God. We just thank you for everything that you continue to do, God. God, right now we pray for clarity, God. God, we pray for any confusion be removed, God. We pray that understanding be the word of the day, God. We pray that clarity and clear mind and clear vision be the course of the day, God. We pray right now, God, that minds be eased, God, that tempers be quelled right now, God. We pray just that people would get a better understanding of who you are, God, and then that the people would see and know their purpose, God. And then once you've shown them purpose, God, we pray that they would then ask for the mission, God, because the purpose without mission, God, is just pointless. So right now, God, we ask that you would give people not only purpose, God, but then equip them to go out on the mission. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. Y'all stay blessed. I will be back on Friday. We'll be back. I love y'all. Keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. We are out. Peace. We picking up the cross and taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Do it for God, the boss. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Picking up the cross, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the
us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church, following traditions that no longer work. Steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt. Picking up the cross and taking out.